You know, as I was preparing to come here, Chris and I were getting things ready, and we had a whole lot of confusion and turmoil and things that back that way. I started wondering if I was even going to be able to come. I really wasn't sure because I didn't know. There were so many unknowns about the situations that we had in Pittsburgh that I didn't know we were going to be able to come. And Chris's mom said, well, no matter what happens, she was going to make sure we could come. And she made sure we could come. And I give thanks to God for that, too. But I started asking God, well, Lord, if you'd have me bring a message there, what would it be? What would you want me to speak on? And it was very clear that he made it very clear to me that I had delivered a message, probably about 7 years ago, on the watchman. The watchman. And the text that I brought it from was Ezekiel chapter 3 and then Ezekiel chapter 33. And both of those texts we'll read today. I'll read them. I've got my electronic Bible. And what we'll see is, and if you want to read along, go ahead and grab a Bible because you can read along with me. But we're going to examine the Word of God, the Holy Word of God, and we're going to learn some things about who we are to God. What God shows in His Word is that we are to be watchmen. We have a duty and a responsibility to warn the people. We are duty-bound to do what we're doing. And I'm trusting that God is going to help us to realize our duty and our responsibility is not to people. Our duty and our responsibility is to Him. We answer only to Him. We will answer to Him. We will stand before that righteous judge one day, and He will call us into account for everything that He gave us to do, whether we do it or not. And finally, I'm going to show you that Almighty God's laid out very plain consequences. Very plain consequences for any who do not deliver what it is that He gives us to deliver. And so I'm going to open our Bible to the third chapter of Ezekiel. That's where we'll start. Ezekiel chapter 3. And we're going to start with verse 17. And this is what we hear there. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. That's some scary words. I trust God adds his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word, and I believe that he's going to take a hold of my mouth today, and I'm going to deliver this message to his glory. I think each of us are going to be blessed by the hearing of God's word. That's some heavy stuff. Ezekiel was appointed by God to be a watchman. Now, the watchmen were posted in the wall around the cities. The cities were guarded by a wall. There was a protection. They were gated communities. And they would post watchmen up on the wall to watch for coming enemies, for danger. Okay? Matthew tells us that Pilate used soldiers as watchmen. Nehemiah tells us of regular citizens acting as watchmen. So we see it could be anybody in any particular part of society. It doesn't mean that you have to have some special designation by some special entity that says, okay, now you are a watchman. There's nothing in the scripture that says you have to have some sort of piece of paper. You have to be ordained to be a watchman. You're made a watchman by God. Now, in some of these examples, we see that anybody can be a watchman. Watchmen were stationed on the towers, the walls of the cities, or even in the streets. They were used to warn the people of danger. On special occasions, they were stationed around the temple in Jerusalem. Watchmen patrolled the streets at night to preserve order. Sort of like police that we had once upon a time, the policeman or the policewoman. The numbers were increased in times of danger. They were vigilant. They reported the approach of all strangers, whether day or night. They'd say, hey, we got some strangers coming. They'd warn the people. They sounded an alarm at the approach of enemies, and it was dangerous to sleep on their posts. And neglecting to give warning was punished by death. That's how serious it was taken. The watchmen, if they did not watch, if they fell asleep on their watch, they themselves were subject to be killed for their transgression. The prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel and the author of the book of Hebrews use them as an illustration for ministers. The watchmen must be zealously involved in their work. They must be occupied with watching. Apathy and indifference, lethargy and passiveness are the opposites of being a zealous watchman. In the time of Ezekiel, a person could be appointed to be a watchman in a city or over a flock or even in a camp. The city watchman was to guard against fire and robbers, disturbers of the peace. A flock watchman guarded against thieves and the beasts of prey. Well, we got some beasts of prey in this nation, don't we? And God's raised up watchmen to guard the flock. And in an invaded country or a besieged town, a camp watchman's job was to watch the motions of the enemy. They were to keep an eye on them, see how they were moving around, and report that back. They were to sound an alarm at the first appearance of danger. Being a watchman can be strenuous work. But no matter how tired the watchmen become, they must stay alert. They must remain active. They must. It's absolutely necessary to remain awake. And there's many passages of Scripture. Isaiah said, now is high time to wake out of sleep. Awake. Jesus said, remain watchful, because you don't know when your master is returning. You don't know when he's coming back. You need to remain watchful. And in that, he made every single follower a watchman. No matter how difficult. God's word's plain about the duty of this office. The work of a watchman is to pay attention to God and to warn the people. Every watchman has eyes to see and ears to hear. Every watchman has a tongue to speak with. The watchman today must look up to God in prayer. The watchman today must look upon God in his word to gather information for the people. The watchman must work through meditation upon the Word of God to bring what it is that God has for the people. The watchman must listen to God, give God's truth to the people, whether they like it or not. That's been one of the hardest things in my ministry, is I've found a lot of people don't like to hear what God has to say. Oh, they'll come out to a fancy building on a Sunday morning. They'll fill the seats. They'll say they're there to worship God, but as the moment that God brings a message to them, it strikes them in the heart, buddy, they're running out the door. Oh, I come under conviction. I've shared that with you folks. I've heard that so many times, I tell you. And I tell them, well, thank God he still loves you enough to convict your heart of the sin that you're in. Repent of it. But they don't want to repent. And Jesus tells us it's because they love darkness rather than the light that they flee from the light. The watchman has to listen to God and gives God's truth to the people. And the watchmen also gather intelligence from the enemy to spy danger. God told Ezekiel to listen to what he said and then warn them for him. That's what he told them. Listen to what I'm telling you and make sure you warn them, because if you don't warn them, it's going to fall on you. Oh yeah, they'll die in their sin and they'll get punished for their sin, but it's also going to come back on you. And each of us has a job to do. When God gives us something to say, we need to say it. God gives us a message to deliver. We must deliver it. There was a young lady that, and I think I shared this with you earlier in the week, there was a young lady that said, well, you're not going to be upset with me, are you, Pastor? Because she disagreed with me about something. I said, oh, no. I said, I'm just like the mailman. I just deliver the message. And whatever you do with it, that's on you. But I've done my work, and I can say, like Paul, my hands are clean. Paul did what he was supposed to do. He delivered the message to the people. A watchman has to continue to stay in communication with God. Watchmen are warning the people for Almighty God. Watchmen have to listen to God first. Otherwise, they can't give His warning to others. And if we're disconnected from our Creator, how are we going to be able to deliver something from Him? If there's a rift between us and our Creator, if we've allowed sin to get between us and Him, we aren't going to hear from Him. And if we don't hear from Him, we're not going to be able to tell others what He has to say. There's a whole lot of preachers that fit in that category. They live in sin and they say it's not sin. They've redefined sin. God says nobody has the authority to change what He says is sin. He's the highest authority. It's like that constitution of this land. It says, and what it says, we abide by. And if we don't, what are we? We're treasonous. We're going against that founding document. You can't go against our Creator and think to get away with it. It doesn't happen. His letter to the Romans, Paul writes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's that hearing that makes faith possible. Hearing the Word of God, listening to God. And we first listen through His Word, by reading His Word. We know that God's watchmen have to listen to God. And the watchman then delivers a message to the people who turn, and they either run from it, or they turn to it, and listen to it, and receive it. It causes a crisis of faith between everything that the world has to offer, and everything the world promises, and the warnings of God. It causes a crisis. And some people, as I said, they run from, oh no, I come under conviction under your preaching. Well, I say, thank God. According to Isaiah, if the watchman doesn't speak, it's as bad as if he was blind. It's found in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 10. In Isaiah 56, we hear Isaiah as he writes, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. You ever see a lazy dog laying out in the sun just watching the day go by? That's what he's referring to. The watchmen are supposed to be awake and alert. They're supposed to be alive. They're supposed to be communicating with the Heavenly Father, and they're supposed to be delivering those messages to the people. But Isaiah says they're sound asleep. Oh, they've got their head on a pillow. They're just comfortable. And today's watchmen are God's mouth to the children of men and to God's people. We preach not only to God's people, like in a congregation like this, but also to the people of the world. We're to bring the truth. We're to deliver the message of God. In his preaching, Ezekiel the prophet had to distinguish between the wicked and the righteous. He had to suit his alarms to each. Now, I talk about the truth and the morality that each of us are to live under, and I lead people to Christ through the message of Christ. Everybody receives their share. If Ezekiel had done what he was supposed to do, he could rest assured, whether they heeded his message or not, and each of us is the same way. If we deliver the message that we are given to deliver, we can rest assured that we are okay because we've delivered the message. But Ezekiel makes it clear, if he did not give each one their due, he'd be held accountable. And so it is today. Each of us will be held accountable. And that makes the watchman's job particularly difficult. Because if God gives us a message to deliver and we don't deliver it, it falls on us. Fickle and angry people can make a watchman's life miserable. I can tell you that from being a pastor. I'll tell you right now. Oh, my. People get offended when anybody speaks out against the things they love if Almighty God calls it sin. You think about the sin that's coming into the church. They're going to ordain openly sinful people. God says this activity's sin. And let's just say lying. Lying is a sin. And yet we see liars in the pulpits. They're telling lies from the pulpits. Instead of bringing the truth of God's word, they bring lies. God says liars don't get in. He says all liars have their place in the lake that burns with fire. That's what God says. He doesn't say, well, you know, we're going to give them a pass because after all, they had a hard life. You know, they were preachers. They had to put up with all these sinful people. No, he doesn't say that. He says all liars. Now, you think about the people that are running the government in this land and how many we have that are liars, just straight up lying, lying about everything, not bringing the truth. They don't bring truth to bear on anything because there's no truth residing in them. And they'll lie straight to your face, smiling at you as they're doing it. The same as in the church. The authorities have gone corrupt. The authorities that God has endowed upon this land that have set up, God has set up authorities in this land, both in the church and in the civil government, and both of them have turned from Him. And we wonder why the country's in such a mess. We've got liars running it. And I'm not saying everybody's a liar. Don't get me wrong. But there's so many that are, it's hard to discern those that aren't anymore. People get offended when we speak out against the things that God calls sin, because they love it. They love their sin. It was the same at the time of Jesus when he upset the bankers' tables. They loved that sin. They just loved gathering all that money into themselves, making merchandise of God's people. They didn't care that they were sinning. They wanted that gold. They wanted that silver. Now it's paper. Just think about that for a moment. Any popular activity that God forbids seems to find a groundswell of support against the watchman these days. Just mention certain things like abortion or gluttony. Mention those things. Homosexuality, sports idolatry, and watch the responses. People sit around. There'll be people, if there's a game on today, there'll be people sitting in those coliseums, and there'll be people sitting in front of their television sets, and there'll be people down at those sport bars watching those games. That's their church. That's where they worship. They're idolaters. And then you think about the modern mantra, which is sin for you is not necessarily sin for me, after all. We've got this anything goes mentality, and we've got this, what's it called when people say, well, for you it's okay, for me it's not, or for me it's okay, but for you it's not. They just let it, it's all everybody, everything's just, there's no absolutes. They've broken down all the lines of absolute. But God says certain things are absolutely sin. And God says certain things are absolutely forbidden. And we're to avoid those things. But that modern mantra comes in and confuses opinion with truth. Take their opinion and they turn it into as if it's truth. The watchmen have to remember that they're accountable only to God. And not even to those who might write a paycheck to them. Ooh, I know I'm stepping on toes now. Because there's a lot of people out there that are standing in a pulpit right now this morning all across this land, and they're going to have a nice hefty paycheck at the end of the month. Or maybe they get it every week. And what happens? When that guy that gives the most money to the church comes and says, now, preacher, you know what you said on Sunday? Well, I'm sorry about that, you know, but you know, I can correct that next week. So that fellow don't want to be coming under conviction. The Lord will convict a heart. And when that paymaster comes to the preacher and tells him, I don't like the way you're preaching, and the preacher changes the way he's preaching, he's turning against Almighty God. He's not doing what God wants. Ezekiel had to warn the wicked to turn from their wickedness. God's consistent. He's always warned humanity of wickedness. People have never escaped that righteous judgment of God because God is the one that sets the rules. He's the creator. He says yay, he says nay. He is ultimately the final authority on everything. And nobody can change what he says is yay or nay. And yet they do it. They do it. He's always warned humanity of the result of wickedness too. The death of sinners is so great a death that they will die eternally. And when we look at that, what we see is a picture of dying but never being dead. We see an eternal dying, an eternal state of wanting to be dead, but can't be because they're in torment. And those souls are in torment because they turned from their Creator. They turned from their Creator. God's consistent. Theirs will be a forever dying. Theirs is an unceasing death. But Ezekiel tells us, the Lord told him, if the sinner turns from his wicked way, he will be saved. And that's the point of the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save sinners from eternal dying. He made the way. God required the sacrifice. He made the final sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. The only sinless man to ever live gave his life so that we, who could not pay for our debt, would have our debt paid. They must turn from their wickedness and their wicked way. And upon repentance, their eternal death is prevented. It's not enough to turn from their wicked way by an outward reformation, though. That heart has to be changed. You must turn from the wickedness and from the love of it and the inclination of it by an inward regeneration. An inward regeneration. And that takes place by Almighty God through His Spirit that He infuses us with. Spoken of by Paul as the renewing of the mind. But how will a wicked person learn of the gift of God? How will they learn of the danger to an eternal soul that remains in sin? How will they avoid such a tragic eternal consequence for such a short-lived selfish pleasure brought on by wickedness? Only hear that danger that they're in by a vigilant watchman who hears the message from God and warns them. That's the only way. That's why God has preachers. And He's turned everybody into a messenger and a watchman. He said, go into all the world. Preach the good news. Teach. Jesus said, teach them everything that I taught you. They'll only hear that danger by God's watchman. And it's a clear duty of God's watchmen. Sinners must be warned of the danger of sin. Do they want to hear that message? The gospel is an offense. The good news offends people. How dare you tell me I'm a sinner? Well, let's see. Have you ever lied?
I have.
Have you ever cheated?
Yeah.
Have you ever stolen?
Unfortunately.
Then you're a sinner. God says you're a sinner, and you're, as a result of your sin, you deserve to be kept from God for the rest of eternity. Doesn't seem fair, does it? God is absolutely righteous. He is absolutely just, and He may do as He pleases because He's the Creator. He set up the rules, and we're just to follow them. And some say, well, you're preaching that they're... legalism now, Pastor. No. Jesus Himself said, those who love Him follow His commandments. And those who don't, they don't. And the vigilant watchman has to bring the message from God to warn people. They must be assured of the benefit of grace upon repentance. Because it's by grace that we're saved, not of ourselves. It's God's unmerited favor. The ministry of God's Word concerns eternal life and eternal dying. That's the truth of it. And this is what God sets before all of us, each and every one of us, the blessing and the curse. We may escape the curse and inherit the blessing by the shed blood of Jesus, our Messiah. Even if the watchman doesn't warn the wicked people of their misery and the danger, they still have no excuse for continuing in their sin. And some would say, well, that's not righteous. Nobody told them. Although the watchman didn't give them warning, They'll die in their iniquity. And this is because they had sufficient warning given them by the providence of God and their own consciousness. Their own consciences, God says, show them God. I heard a preacher one time. He said he was called to Africa to minister to the poor heathens in Africa. And this was a very old sermon, probably from the 40s or 50s. And he said when he got there, he thought it wasn't right for God to throw them into hell if they never heard of God and his plan of redemption. He said when he got there, he found they were monsters of iniquity. And they already knew of God and they wanted nothing to do with him. And this is true all over the world. People know because God instills it in them. We can see the goodness of God all around us. And if we choose to turn our backs on God's goodness, we suffer for it because we've made that choice. But if they have heeded that warning, they'll be saved. Woe to the watchmen that are unfaithful to their trust. Ezekiel tells us if they won't warn the sinners of the fatal consequences of sin, the blood of those that perish will be required at their hand. Now, some of us, our ministry isn't in the pulpit. Some of us, our ministry is in other realms. And we're to do those things. We're to take the message. We're to show the error of their ways. And I know some of us in this room right now that do exactly that. We bring what God says is moral and right and just. But woe to the watchmen that are unfaithful. On Judgment Day, the sleeping watchman will be charged. It was because of their unfaithfulness to their commission that those precious souls perished in sin. And I don't know what that means. I don't know how God's going to do that. I honestly don't. I don't know how he's going to call the watchman into account. But I know he's just. He's that just judge. And when I stand before him, I won't have anybody else around me. The only advocate that we have is Jesus Christ, the righteous. If I live right by him, he'll be standing there with me. This is one of mine. But if I don't, I will have proven that I'm not righteous. And I haven't been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I haven't been transformed. My mind hasn't been renewed. On Judgment Day, the watchman's responsibility and duty will be brought right up to him or her. Even though our physical bodies start to die from the time we're born, being an accessory to the murder of a physical body has serious consequences. Can't be a part of making somebody die. God calls it murder. This body's already dying. And at some point in time, it's going to end. It's going to cease to exist. But nobody can help this body to die. Nobody can make it to die. Nobody can force it to die before Almighty God takes my life out of it. Think about it. What is it then to be an accessory to the death of an immortal soul? We're not allowed to participate in the death of a human body. And the watchmen that do not deliver the message, they are an accessory to the death of a human soul. God will call them to account for that. He will call them to account. And then we know we give warning to sinners. And if that warning's not heeded, we can at least rest knowing that we are cleared from their blood. They've delivered their own souls to death. The faithful watchman will be rewarded, even though they're unsuccessful in getting others to turn away from their sin to God. And that's the thing that gives me comfort. When I have people tell me, I can't listen to you, I come under conviction. When people run from the ministry, when people run from the Word of God, when people will not even read the Word of God. I had one woman one time, she said, well, you know, you're making an idol of the Bible. Said, well, I'll tell you what, if you think that, you're in trouble. I will read the Word of God. I will study the Word of God. I will share what I learn in the Word of God because that's what I'm called to do. Now, you can call me idolizing the Word of God all you like, but I know that's what God wants me to do. And His Word makes it clear. his statutes, his precepts, everything, all of his righteous judgments, everything that's written in his word is for our strength. It's for our admonition. It's for our growth. It's to turn us into who he wants us to be. Now think about just for one moment. Think about our reward if the sinner heeds the watchman's warning. There'll be earthly benefits. The sinner will stop sinning in the way that they were sinning. They'll repent of that sin. They'll turn away from that sin, whatever it is, whatever aspect of life that they're in. And when they turn from that sin, there will be benefits to the world. The world will be a better place. And yet the watchman also is rewarded. Rewarded with the company of that former sinner in eternal glory. When the sinner turns from their way, God brings them into eternal glory. And that watchman that brings the word, that brings the warning, and the sinner heeds the warning, is rewarded by the presence of that sinner. Who are the watchmen today? Might be the pastor or the preacher is. No, I'd agree with you. The pastor, the preacher, they're watchmen. Might say an evangelist or a priest is the watchman, and for some, I would agree. And as the speaker here today, I understand that my duty is to be a watchman for you. I'm to bring the message to you. And my hope is, and I trust, that God will take that message and he will use it to move you in the direction that he would have you to go, to deliver the messages that he gives for you to deliver. I'm called to heed God's instruction. So are each of you. I'm called to listen to him in prayer, and I'm called to seek his instructions in his word. So are you. But I'll submit to you, I'm not alone. Neither are you. Everybody who receives Christ, everybody who accepts the message of Christ, everybody who believes and truly is converted has the same responsibility. We're not alone. We're called to be watchmen. But how do I make this claim? It's a very serious claim. How do I make that claim? Jesus preached repentance, and he told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the same. This makes us all watchmen, because the watchman's job is to preach repentance and avoidance of sin. Jesus made us watchmen. He made us ambassadors. We take his kingdom to the world, and we deliver his message as ambassadors. It's his message. We're just like the mailman. We're just bringing the mail. Here you go. Here's the mail. This is from God. It's for you. Now you take it and you do what you will with it. And I'll tell you, I'll warn you. I'll warn you, if you don't do what God says, there are consequences. There's no way around them, because Almighty God is a God of truth. He says there's consequences, and there will be consequences here and hereafter. No matter what we do, and all of us have had circumstances in our lives that have proved that to us. We can't deny it. It's absolutely irrefutable. Almighty God knows the truth. He delivers the truth. Either we accept his truth and we work and walk within his truth, or we don't. And if we don't, then we're living under his judgment. We're not alone. Isaiah tells us that ministers are watchmen on the church's walls. Isaiah 62:6 is where we find that message. In the spiritual sense, the watchman considers the people of God to be in warfare. It's a war. And there are enemies. And those enemies are trying to take out God's people. There's no doubt in my mind about that whatsoever. And I think when we look at our civil society and we see how uncivil it's become, we can know that the enemy has come in and divided us on many fronts. You know the different ways that we're divided, so heavily divided in this country. No doubt in my mind. The enemy troops are clever, and they're restless in their attempts to take us down. They want to overthrow and destroy God's people. And I have no doubt about that at all. Each believer is a particular member of the house and family of God, and each and every one of us are in danger. Individually, we must be concerned about this, and we must stand on guard. We must not let our guard down. We must not be like those sleeping watchmen that Isaiah writes of, slumbering, unable to bark, dumb dogs. We can read where Paul exhorts believers to put on the whole armor of God, defend ourselves against the devil's schemes. And collectively, as watchmen, we're to diligently look out for ourselves and others. But what is the warning? What's the warning that we're to deliver? What is it that God wants us to warn the people about? Let's look in His Word. Let's look in His Word to find out. You look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. And this is what we hear there. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so when you run into an extortioner, you got to tell them, you're not getting in. I don't care who you say you believe in. When you're extorting money from people, that makes you an extortioner. And Almighty God says, you don't get in. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what He says. Don't be thieves. Don't be covetous. Don't be revilers. Paul goes on to say, such were some of you, but you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You've been washed from those things. You've been cleansed of those things. And when people in any place of authority in this country say that they're a follower of Jesus Christ and they're an extortioner or they're a thief or they're a liar, they're lying to themselves because they do not have the Spirit of Almighty God, because He'll convict them of that and they'll quit doing it. That's the truth of it. Look in Galatians chapter 5 now. Galatians chapter 5, and what we see in verses 19 through 21 is a very similar message. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before and have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They can think they are, but our message to them is what God's Word says. It doesn't have to be my message. I'm not going to give you a word from me. I'm going to give you a word from God. This is what God says. And He goes on to say, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And against such things there is no law. That's what God says. And then if we turn to Hebrews chapter 13, this is the Word of God, folks. Hebrews chapter 13, the final chapter in the book of Hebrews. And verses, just verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's what He says. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. Hear the word of the Lord. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's an eternal dying. Because as we look at what Jesus teaches about hell, what we see Jesus teaching about the eternal torment is that their worm never dies. In other words, their body that they feel the pain in never goes away. They live in torment. And why? because they've sinned against an almighty, holy, righteous God. In Leviticus chapter 18, this is now the Old Testament. People will criticize me for looking into the Old Testament, but I'll tell you, if Jesus did it, I've got to do it. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22. The Lord says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." And that word abomination means something God hates. But wait a minute, we got bishops in the church. Men lay with men and women lay with women. But they excuse themselves. They have placed themselves, just as Satan did once upon a time, above God. They have shown themselves that they are God. They set the rules. Not that old stinky God up in heaven. No, we're not going to let him set the rules. We set the rules. We're the ones in control. God said something different. And then when we look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. We hear Paul preaching to the Thessalonians. He says, "So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." Now, let's just pause there for a moment, because today's church, we don't want tribulation. We don't want persecution. Come on, Pastor, that's old. We're righteous in God's sight because of Jesus, no matter what sin we commit. And so, therefore, God's going to give us everything we want. He's like the big genie in the sky. We just reach up with a prayer, rub the bottle, and God will give us everything we want. That's what they say. But he, in the New Testament, is talking about the church being persecuted and tribulations they endured. And the watchman has to warn the people. Jesus did. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation. He didn't say you might. He didn't say you could. Which is, he says, the tribulation and persecutions are a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. A token of the righteous judgment of God? That they're being persecuted and coming under tribulation? That they're having a hard time of it? That, he goes on to say, you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. And it's the persecution, it's the tribulation, it's those difficulties that we face that God uses to move us nearer to him. That's what he says in his word. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Oh. And what he's saying is God's going to take and give them a measure of tribulation for the tribulation they give to you. You think about that the next time you're persecuted. The next time you fall under some unrighteous judgment. God will take them. If they don't repent, they'll pay with the wrath of God. Because it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Paul was a watchman, and he's telling the people, you've done what was right in the eyes of God. You'll be blessed by God for doing what was right in the eyes of God. Very clear. And there's a contrast, because not everybody that calls him Lord, Lord gets into the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus said. If we look in Ephesians again, chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, and we look at verse 8. It's written, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. walk as children of light. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Consider what's written in James chapter 1. James was the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And James tells us in verse 22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You think about that the next time that you come across some unrighteous man or woman in a position of authority. Think about that. They call themselves a follower of Christ. They call themselves a believer. They hear the word. Oh, they've heard the word. But they're not a doer of it. And James warns them, don't be a hearer only, and not a doer. He says, because if anybody is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. He beholds himself in the mirror. He sees himself in the mirror, but he turns away and he forgets what he looked like. He's straightway forgotten what manner of man he is. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Blessed. Because when you're doing the work of God, he blesses it. He blesses it. He blesses it to his glory, not to ours. And we have to be real careful not to take credit for what God does. And for some, that's difficult. For some, that's very difficult. But that's the warning. We need to warn people, do what God says and don't do what he says not to do. That's what the watchmen are to warn. Look in Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah is one of the Old Testament prophets. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 51, verse 17, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she's brought out. Neither is there any that takes her by the hand of all the sons that she's brought up. She was left. She was barren because she sinned against God. That's the warning we're to give people. If this nation does not repent, if this nation does not turn back to its foundation, if this nation does not accept what the word of Almighty God says, this nation will be abandoned by God. And I'm concerned that we're a little closer than any of us think. Think about what's in Hebrews chapter 10. What are we to warn them of? Hear what's written in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27 tell us, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And there are people that preach just the exact opposite of that these days. Go out and sin willfully. Go sin willfully. They not only do they do these evil things themselves, they have pleasure in others that do them. That's what the word says. You think about those who are in positions of authority throughout this land. Don't they fit that? They're sinning willfully. And they're teaching others to do the same. And you see it. We all see it all around us. They're not walking in the righteousness of God. They're sinning against Him. And it's our duty to point it out to them and tell them what they're doing is wrong. There's a fearful looking for of judgment. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. And we will hear again the word of the Lord to his people. Isaiah 52, verse 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. Wake up. God's calling to this nation to wake up. Wake up. He yells to the people, wake up. And they don't hear him. They turn a deaf ear. They turn up the music in their earbuds. I don't want to hear that. La, 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 la. I can't hear you. God wants the people to come clean. But they refuse. And hear what's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 34. What are we supposed to tell them? Awake. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. That's what he says, to tell them. What else are we supposed to tell them? Romans chapter 13 will give us a clue. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. Simple message. Knowing that the time, it is now high time to awake out of sleep. You hear that? A theme here? How many times does God have to tell his people to wake up? Wake up! Wake up! It's our salvation's nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Chambering, you know, bedding down. Wantonness, illicit activity. He's talking to Christians. He was talking nearly 2,000 years ago. And he's telling them now, our salvation is nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. That was then. If the day was at hand then, where are we now? And another message that we hear to deliver to the people is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 5. You're children of light and children of the day. We're not of the night, nor of the darkness. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. And let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And comfort yourselves together with these words. No matter what the world brings, we can have comfort knowing that we are in Christ, and we simply need as watchmen to deliver the message that he provides. We need to do what he says to do. We need to go where he says to go. We need to say what he says to say. We need to be who he says to be. Look in chapter 33 of Ezekiel. He says, when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If you don't speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man will die in his iniquity. But his blood I'll require at your hands. So just in case we thought maybe Ezekiel chapter 3 was an isolated account, God repeats it in Ezekiel chapter 33. That's the testimony of two witnesses. And God says, by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. And Jesus repeated that in the New Testament, just in case anybody thought that was Old Testament. And so I asked, do you hear our God speaking to you today? Are you fulfilling your commission? Are you listening to God and warning others of that coming judgment? Or are you sleeping? Have you got your head down on the pillow just dreaming away? Now, I believe from what I know of you folks, that's not true. And I know of Gary, it's not true. He's not one to lay down and not spread the truth. And I know when God brings him out of this cancer, when he takes him out of this, he'll be back out there giving testimony to God and the truth. What's my call to you as I wrap this up today? Listen to God. You're the watchman. Listen to God. Give the message to the people that he puts in front of you. God's message has just come to you. speak to the people and tell them. If God brings war on this land, and if the watchman sees war coming and blows the trumpet warning the people, and anyone hears the sound of the trumpet and ignores it, and war comes and takes him off, it's his own fault. He heard the alarm. He ignored it. It's his own fault. That's an English rendering of the passage in Ezekiel. If he had listened, he'll save his own life. Remember that God brings judgment, and his judgment is coming. And the watchmen are called to blow the trumpet, blow the warning, warn the people, warn the people. And God, he comes, and when he comes, and he takes anybody off, he holds the watchman responsible for the bloodshed of any unwarned sinner. We have to be the ones who give them the warning. And in this time, we see the truth of Jesus' words when he said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There's few who will do the work. And Jesus also said he wondered if he'd find faith when he returned to the earth. And I know that that one that's coming, that unrighteous one, that antichrist, that beast, he's going to force people. He's going to force them by every means possible. And if they're not already prepared to deliver the truth, to stand upon the truth, to walk only in truth, they're going to be swept away with everybody else into that falsehood. Each of us is a watchman, and Almighty God made us watchmen for the people in our area of influence. And you've received this message from Him. And now you have to warn them, or you'll have to suffer consequences yourselves. And I know that's not a pretty message. That's not going to charge you all up and get you jumping up and down, yay God! But if you don't speak up and warn the wicked to change their ways, those wicked will die unwarned in their sins, and Almighty God will hold you accountable. He'll hold you responsible. And I want you to remember that if you warn the wicked to change their ways and they don't do it, they'll die in their sins well warned. When you stand before them and you tell them what you're doing is wrong, you've done what God said to do. Now, they may not change, and they may try to harm you, but you've done what God wanted you to do. They don't do it. They don't change their ways. You've protected yourself. Each of you is called to speak to people. Tell them God said our rebellions and sins are weighing us down. Tell them. We're wasting away. How can we go on living when we're living contrary to God? How can we go on living contrary to God and expect His blessing? It's not going to happen. It cannot happen. It must not happen because our God is just. And He is not going to accept the sins of the people as if it hadn't happened. Except when Christ's blood is applied to that loss, it's wiped out. The account is paid, and we no longer have to pay it. But we may not walk in sin and expect to have that covering. It's not true. What they're preaching today is a lie. And so many that call themselves Christians, they find themselves in positions of authority, and they've got that mindset that they can do whatever they like, they can do whatever they want, they'll get away with it, and they'll stand before God righteous. And He's going to tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That's what He'll say. He tells us that. You can tell Him God takes no pleasure from the death of the wicked. He wants the wicked to change their ways. That's what His Word says. He wants them to change their ways and live. Why die? Why die, America? Why? For temporary pleasure? For earthly riches? If I gain the whole world and lose my soul, what good is it? Tell your people a good person's good life won't save him when he decides to rebel. Tell the people that God puts in your life. Bad person's bad life won't prevent them from repenting of their rebellion either. God will allow them to repent. There's nobody that's too bad. There's nobody that's too evil. There's nobody that's too wicked. God says He doesn't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants them to change their ways and live. He wants them to reverse their evil ways. But a good person who sins can't expect to live when he chooses to sin. God's word makes that clear. It's true that God tells the good people, live and be alive. He tells them, enjoy the good things. They're all from him. He tells us to do that. But if they trust their good deeds and turn to evil, that good life won't amount to a hill of beans. Won't matter one bit. They'll die for their wicked life. And if they repent of their sin, if they turn from it, the world will be a better place. Even in just a small way. And some people that God puts in our path, it'll help turn the world a better place in a bigger way. You imagine if we could turn the people that are in positions of authority away from the wickedness that they're committing upon this land? Could you imagine if we could turn the people who have the power to change things away from evil? Can you imagine how this country would change? Almost overnight it could change. When they're doing what's right, they'll live. There's people that say that the master's way isn't fair. But God says the way they're living isn't fair. Because he sets the rules. And when good people turn back from living good lives and they plunge into sin, they will die for it. And the church has got it wrong there, folks. The church has got it wrong. The church has it wrong. You know, one vein of Christianity says, well, you go ahead and sin, and then you come back and you tell this other fellow that wears a black dress, you tell him your sins, and you'll be okay. Because you told him, and then he'll give you some prayers to say, and then you'll be absolved. And then there's those that say, you don't have to tell anybody your sins. You just go sin it up, and then you tell daddy up in heaven there that you're sorry, and he'll forgive you. Then go out and sin it up again. After all, he's just, and he'll forgive us our sins. But when good people plunge themselves into sin, they'll pay for it. God is just. He can't punish one for a sin and not punish another. Why? Because you said a little prayer once upon a time? Because you said, oh, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I just want you to save me so I can go out and sin it up? Be zealous for God. Deliver his whole warning. Tell people that they're wrong when they're wrong. When the people hold to their sin, they'll die. But if they heed his warning, they'll be delivered from destruction. And upon entrance into his presence, you'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's what Jesus said. But if you don't warn them of the danger that's fast approaching, you, like so many others, will hear, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was spiritually hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was spiritually thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. Be a faithful watchman, and receive the reward of your Lord. And know that what you're doing is right by him. There's no better way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be zealous for you. Help us to deliver your whole warning. Help us, Lord, to help people to turn from their wicked lives. Lead us, guide us, direct us. God, we need you more today than ever before. There's so many things that are turning away from you, and God, we know that you are calling us to turn people back to you, so help us to do that. Help us to show people that the way they're living isn't right, it isn't fair, it isn't just, but you are just. We know when people turn from living evil lives, you reward them for it. And we know that they do that through Christ, his final sacrifice. It's not by the act of turning. It's by the payment that he made. Help us to receive that payment and live in it. I pray, Lord, that each of us who are called to be watchmen would continue to be watchmen. That we would bring the message from you to the people. I pray this in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I've got a final hymn I'd like to sing. I think we've been singing this at the church, every Sunday except for the ones I haven't been there. They might be singing them, I don't know. But we're going to sing, Jesus is Coming Again. And I think you'll get the chorus and you'll be able to sing along at some point.
This is Michaela. We're going to light feathers with us next Sunday.